I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
After 37 games, 11 weeks out of action, he's back tonight.
Doug McLean?
No, Connor McDavid. Almost the same level of popularity. Darren Millard here on Hockey Central. We're going to chat with Connor McDavid's agent, Jeff Jackson, in a little bit.
Couldn't get Connor.
As he returns tonight in a game against
Connor's on the ice.
Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, Connor's taking the morning skate. We have it for you tonight on Sportsnet, a national game, McDavid's return.
You just assume because you watched all that interaction during the All-Star game that we would just be able to get a mic on Connor while he's skating around.
Right. Are we flying to St. John's to do John Scott's first game with the Ice Caps? Are we going to go down and do that live?
I knew this was going to derail. Let me just set up the show, and then you guys can take it, okay?
You're saying it won't be Montreal?
We'll have some thoughts about the All-Star weekend. Dennis Wiedemann is going to face the music today. Awesome. Mentioned Jeff Jackson coming on. Chris Johnson, Sportsnet.ca, the NHL on Sportsnet, to talk about what's happening from a Leaf angle as well. But let's kick off the show with a little All-Star flavor, y'all.
Yep.
It was spectacular. Congratulations to Nashville. An amazing job. I can't believe how many people said that the National Hockey League should host the All-Star game in Nashville every year. It went over that well in Nashville. And to the people,
what are you saying to the people in Columbus?
It's just,
what's wrong? Like,
I've never heard it that it should be in one place.
Yeah,
just in one place. And to the people that came up, the people that came up to us all weekend, our viewers on the NHL Network, thank you for the kind thoughts. But it was,
any of them asked where I was?
No. Actually, you know what?
No,
you know
that's
what
not true.
I don't know what's worse.
Lindy Ruff asked where you were, and Patrick Kane asked where you were.
I don't know what's worse, being replaced by Damian Cox. Who? It's more disappointing to me or disappointing to you guys?
I think you.
You know what?
but Patrick Kane wanted to know where you were. Pat, I don't know whether you saw the interview.
No,
Hockey Central,
I didn't.
A special two-hour edition on Friday.
I missed it.
Patrick came on, mm-hmm. revealed that he watches the show. Patrick, hello. Mm-hmm. Watches the show every day.
Yeah.
He loves the sparring. He even likes it when you start picking on me.
Oh, good.
But he did ask where
Everything,
you were.
The chewing, Patrick's the gum.
The lids.
The lid flicking, all of it.
Every time Patrick touches the puck in 3-on-3 in the regular season, on the power play, you get excited. 3-on-3, you get excited. And it was fun to watch him the other night, the fun moves. Ah, what a talent.
Nick, what do you think of his fighting skills, though?
You know what was... What I noticed was after that fight, they didn't boo him anymore in Nashville.
Well, he went after the toughest guy in the league.
He went after the
toughest guy in the league.
The biggest, strongest guy. Yeah.
No, he's not.
Instant
in the league.
Respect.
Oh, in the age. He's the toughest guy. No, he's the second toughest guy in the AHL. Brett Gallant's the toughest.
Toughest guy in hockey, but not the toughest guy in the league.
No, Brett Gallant. From Cleveland, Lake Erie's the toughest guy in the American League.
It was pretty incredible watching this thing just snowball right in front of our eyes. From the anticipation of John Scott coming in to the presentation of the car. It was
surreal. Do we have the video of
it
the check
strange.
Presentation? I'm just curious. If you guys have the video of the check presentation to John Scott,
wouldn't you have asked
let
for
me
that
know. In let our me know. And meeting? And we're going to roll it because there is one strange thing. I won't let it go right now. But
you got to tell us now.
No, I want to wait and see if the video, if we have the video of the check presentation. But nobody is in the control room back at the shop because nobody's talking. Well, then tell me you're looking for it. Don't just let me babble.
You've done that for like 9 years. Why are we going to stop you now?
I've tried when I was away this weekend. I went down to the Florida Keys to try to. I decided I'm not going to bicker anymore on the show. I'm just going to Tell it the way it is. No more kidding. I'm not going to kid anymore.
You're going to disappoint Pat Kane if you change.
I watched Patrick Kane since he was a midget play with, I think it was Honey Baked in Detroit.
So what do you guys think of the whole John Scott thing? You've got Buffalo Regals.
Yeah, but he also played, well, I know Donnie Harkins worked with him and coached him, and they're still pretty good friends. I mean, good friends. And Donnie, I remember Donnie's pointing him out to me at a midget tournament saying, look at this guy. And I'm like, oh, my God, how good was he?
Okay, so John Scott.
John Scott, you know what? First of all, let me say this. I watched the highlights of the skilled competition, and I thought it was, I always kind of get a kick out of that and enjoy it. I don't like the total goofiness. I love PK doing the kicking, going down the ice with the stick and the kicks. The three on three.
You didn't like his Jágr thing?
The three on three. I loved the Jágr thing. I loved it. I thought it was, and the way he imitated him. This guy, PK, is that sharp. He can imitate. Like we saw him with Don Cherry, yeah. And then to see him do that with Jágr. But
do you want to know a story about the hardest shot with John Scott?
Sure.
So he and Patrick Kane were the co-captains of the Western Conference for the skills competition. And this was revealed to us on Friday, so I'm not telling stories out of school. But so they traded off each other, lining up the rosters for the skills competition. John Scott had the hardest shot.
Yeah.
So he puts Tyler Seguin and a couple other guys in for the hardest shot and himself. And Patrick Kane looks at the list and goes, no Shea Weber? And John
we need him.
John tried to set it up so he could win the hardest shot.
We're in Nashville.
So Patrick Kane said, I don't think the league's going to be very happy. So he gave in and he put in John Scott. So then go to the 3-on-3 and your John Scott thought, Doug.
You know what? I saw it just get totally carried away and go crazy. I thought it was a bit of an anti-league thing. I mean, the players got on it. It was the whole article that came out that I really enjoyed. The article he wrote, I retweeted it. I thought it was excellent. I really enjoyed reading it.
Oh, the Players Tribune article.
Yes. I thought it was very good. And he spoke from the heart. I liked all that. I didn't like the commentary eventually coming out about the league person being in touch and the family, because I think that took the weekend to a whole nother level of fans.
Well, that's where the emotion came in from the fans.
The right? Players and like the emotion.
Who's the league to do that? All of that came into play.
So, you know what? I got to say,
it was a calculated risk, because that stuff, you know, if it doesn't turn out the way it does, then, you know, there's a lot of people sitting there going, okay, did he just overstep one boundary? And that is airing a little bit of that dirty laundry in front of the public.
But you know what? The
story needed it, because it wouldn't have reached the height that it did without it.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. But same token, he's there. The rules were in place. He should be there because of it. I didn't like the fact that he was going to the All-Star game. I didn't like it. But the fans voted it. So he gets to go, and that's great. And the fact that he scored was exciting and fun.
And
the kid worked hard. He had to just think of how much prep he had to do to keep up and do. So give him full marks. But I'll tell you what, John Scott aside, which I didn't get that excited about it. I loved the games. I loved the way the players finally competed. And it wasn't about the money. For me, it was about the 3-on-3. Chris King, I sent out a note. Congrats to Chris King, who was one of the guys behind it. It was terrific.
Just here's the check presentation to John Scott that we're showing on television. And when you watch this, so Gary Bettman comes out on the carpet.
Yeah.
What happens when you go out and you accept a trophy, a presentation, a check as a player? Where do you stand? Do you stand on the carpet, or do you stand on the ice beside the presentation? And it's John Scott who steps on the carpet. Now, the only reason why you have skates on is because you don't need the carpet.
Right.
So it's been a while since John Scott revealed.
So as John Scott, look, I'm happy for him. Highlight of his life. He battled like crazy. That's great. But I love the 3-on-3. I love the 3-on-3. I thought it made, and I was watching with some people that aren't hockey fans, and they absolutely were amazed by the skill, the goaltending, the compete. But what's with Jouard Gallant? I'm sorry, Jouard. You cannot let your assistant coach massage the players' necks on the bench.
It's where it's gone now.
Amy, what's her name?
Grant.
Grant. Amy Grant.
Pressure's on now for coaching staffs all over the place to...
I said, Jouard, put a stop to that.
I wrote...
Now, if you want to massage Jouard's Gallant's neck, okay.
Did you read my my blog?
No. There's two blogs I don't read. Yours or Shanny's?
This is the first one that I wrote this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know
that. They were struggling, and they asked me to write something. So I did, and I compared this weekend to a reality show. You had your heroes, your villains, your cash prizes, cars.
You're right on the money.
Kind of scripted it well before anyone showed up on the weekend.
Vault somebody to fame.
Someone's famous, an unknown is now famous. But the bottom line was, for me, is how the players went out of their way to make sure that one of ours doesn't get hung out to dry.
Yeah, totally. And that,
was and you know what the weekend was all about. And I'm hearing now that maybe a prominent player also gave John Scott his share.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, he
you know what else?
He made out pretty well this weekend.
Kip, you know what else was evident? What the players who have played with John Scott or even played against John Scott thought of him. It tells you something that character in our game still means a lot. And John Scott showed character going through this whole ordeal from start to finish. He did. And the players respect him. I saw that. Would it happen to anybody? I don't know, but it sure did him. Remember when he went after Kessel and all the heat this guy took a couple of years ago? I'll tell you what. He showed some real character, and I give him full marks for that. And I'm happy for him, and I hope some guys stepped up.
So in the end, was it worth it? It was worth it for John Scott.
It was worth it for him.
But was it worth it? If you look at,
I would have loved to have seen the All-Star game without that and saw how it was, but it just added some extra fun to it, is what it did.
Because the league didn't want it.
No,
and that
it added some extra fun to the weekend.
The lure. I don't think it went to those heights if it wasn't part of the story.
You know what? It's Kippy too. The league is about the fans. Not about the league office. It's not about Gary Bettman, who I guess just signed a new contract. Congratulations, Gary. We know you never miss a show.
Very sincere.
No, I am sincere about that. But it's still about the fans, and it's about the players.
Well, the fans are going to be happy tonight as they get Connor McDavid back, Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McClain, to be joined by Jeff Jackson, Connor McDavid's agent from the Oar Hockey Group. Jeff, when do you think Connor could have come back? Is he overripe at this point? how much sooner could he have come back if he needed to? I'm just curious.
I love that overripe term. That's the most overused term in hockey these days. No, you know what, guys? Probably if the Oilers hadn't had such a long break and kind of the way it lined up with them having 10 days off and not playing through last week, he may have been back. I don't know for sure, but he was definitely pretty close. Hadn't had any full contact in practice yet, so that's what he was able to experience by going down to Bakersfield and having a couple of days of that. And I think that just put everybody's mind to rest that he was good to go.
Jeff, do you need to have a conversation between Connor and the team in terms of making sure that Connor doesn't put too much pressure on himself coming back as a savior or as a guy that can take Edmonton on a big run and get them back into a playoff contention?
I think that Connor has been dealing with this type of thing his whole life in different ways. You know, coming back from his hand injury in junior and stepping into the World Juniors in Toronto and Montreal, that was lots of pressure, and he's faced it throughout his career. So I think that the Oilers have done a great job. Peter and Todd and Bob Nicholson have all had lots of conversations with him. And, you know, I think if you listen to them talk to the media, they certainly try to deflect. And it is true. He's just a 19-year-old who's in his first year, played 13 games a league. So, him coming back will have an impact on the team, of course, but it's not like you said, he's not a savior, and I don't think he looks at himself that way. I think he's just trying to concentrate on getting his timing back and getting going again and trying to maybe as quickly as possible pick up where he left off before he got hurt.
Jeff Jackson is with us from the Orr Hockey Group, the agent for Connor McDavid, who returns after missing 37 games. On the ice tonight, Edmonton at home to Columbus on Sportsnet, 9 o'clock Eastern time.
I just got invited this late last night to sit on a panel at Osgoode Law School with Jeff Jackson. I didn't realize. Maybe they think I'm a lawyer because of how good I sound on this show and how much sense I make.
Well, maybe they thought they were getting Ron McLean.
Is that maybe? No, they wouldn't pay. They couldn't afford him. So I'm looking forward to that, Jeff. I understand you're on the panel.
Seriously, yeah. McDavid comes back, and that's all you've got for your first question?
Are you concerned about the recklessness of a young kid that's so good and wants to take chances? We've seen it with Taylor Hall. Taylor now has got his game where everybody thought it would be. He's a superstar in the league. But are you a little nervous about that because he's so good and so used to taking those chances at around the net in particular?
No, not really. I mean, I think that there's an adjustment at every league when you move up, and he was just starting to get his feel his way around the NHL and feel comfortable. The injury, you know, everybody saw it lots of times. He caught a rut and kind of an unfortunate set of circumstances, the domino effect, whatever, where players fell into him. It's not going to change his game. And one of the things that makes him so good is his ability to go to the net. And you mentioned Taylor. You know, he's had injuries. I don't think he's necessarily changed his game a lot. He's maybe not as reckless. And I don't think Connor's ever played the way Taylor played.
No.
So, I don't have any reservations about him being reckless. I don't think he is. I think he's more, the way he reads the game is kind of so instinctive that when there's a hole, he goes for it and he usually gets through it pretty quick. So I don't think that'll change. And if he gets smoked a couple times by some big D or something, he'll have to figure it out himself. But he's a smart player that way and can adjust, fairly quickly.
You know, last night at dinner, I had a conversation with Glenn Healy, Mike Richter, and we're talking about the 18-year-old draft and whether or not it should go to 19. And I know there's a different world legally that you're probably more familiar with, and maybe even Doug from his executive days. But we'll never argue, Jeff, that there's the skill level that can certainly take the Connor McDavids of the world and put him in the NHL. But then there's that physical element where Connor in just, you know, months ago was up against an average defense size and weight that was probably 180 pounds going into the NHL, where they're averaging 220, 230. And then you think about, you know, how he got piled on behind the net and whether or not that's something that would benefit the league or the players just from a physical point of view if they were able to move up one more year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think this discussion comes up a lot amongst hockey people. I don't think you'll ever see a change. The draft where it is right now, I mean, the top players, you know, the Eichels, McDavid, the Ekblads, those type of players, any of the kids who have made the quick transition to the NHL, you'd have a challenge, I think, if you ever tried to move it. And I don't see it happening, Nick. I think that, you know, there's certain things about being ready that are more than just physical. It's mental. The maturity, there are going to be instances. It doesn't matter if you're 220 pounds like Aaron Ekblad and you get caught, you know, in a precarious situation in a game, because those things do happen and you get hurt. So, you know, Connor's 195 pounds. He's 6'1". As an example, I think he's physically ready to play in the league. There's lots of guys that are smaller than him, who are 23, 24. So you know, the age thing is almost an arbitrary thing. If you're ready to play and you're mature and all those other things, I think that it's fine. And stuff happens. I mean, it's a game where guys get hurt. We get hurt every game. So I don't think changing it from 18 to 19 is really going to have an impact.
You can watch Connor McDavid's return to the National Hockey League off injury tonight on Sportsnet. The game at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, Edmonton at home to Columbus. We're chatting with Jeff Jackson, the Orr Hockey Group. Will you be nervous, excited, or calm watching tonight?
I'm actually just excited to watch him get back in action. You know, I get excited watching all of our players, and, you know, he's no different. He's just been out for a while. I'm excited to flip on the TV and watch it tonight, like a lot of people. And I know there's some anticipation about it. Not nervous at all for him. I mean, he's ready. It sounds like both physically and mentally. So I'm looking forward to watching the game.
Jeff, I couldn't help but think during the skills competition, the highlights I saw that Larkin winning the fastest skater, and I kept thinking, I wonder where McDavid versus Larkin in a skating competition, because they both do such amazing things at high speeds when they play the game.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting. I'm sure those two will have lots of opportunity over their careers at different things like the All-Star Game to have some fun with it. And, you know, if Connor stays healthy and all things line up, you know, hopefully he's in L.A. next year. Yeah, I'm sure that he may have had an opportunity to go this year, but didn't. And but it was fun. It was fun watching you guys, although I know, Doug, you were down in the Keys because I saw a bunch of tweets from the beach.
We're really hoping Doug gets called up next year for the All-Star game.
Hopefully get called
next
up
year,
in the minors.
Doug will be our John Scott.
You know what? I'm one of the guys that like to be in the minors that weekend, Jeff.
We're going to carry Doug into L.A.
I like to be in the
on
minors
our shoulders
during that weekend. I've been in Nashville a lot. I've been to
like
Tootsie's.
To me.
But isn't it amazing, these young kids? And I'm just thinking, when you first saw McDavid play, I don't know what age it was, but man, oh man, I got to coach him, you know, be on the bench with him in the prospects game, and I was amazed watching this guy at ice level, how good he was a year ago. When did you see him?
Well, first. Agents usually start fighting over players at what, age 7 or 8?
9.
Jeff?
That's why Jeff said he got out of it until he got McDavid. Then he got back in.
Yeah, I saw him play, I guess, when he was 14, and an early tournament in September. And I, you know, watched him for 2 or 3 shifts or less than that, probably, and just said, man, like, this kid's special. And he just keeps getting better, which is a bizarre thing, because sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting in a game with Dave Gagne, who's a partner who's played a long time and seen lots of guys, or Bobby or whoever, and we look at each other and say, like, what'd he just do? And so he's a fun player to watch, and he's really fun to work with because he's a great kid. And, you know, he very respectful of the history of the game and of the kind of hierarchy and veterans and all those things that sometimes people, young guys, get criticized for not having anymore. He's not like that. So it's a real pleasure.
You forgot to mention, when you coached him in the top prospects game, that you coached him in his probably least productive game.
Yeah, I was working on his defensive game, play away from the puck. I kept saying, "You got to pick up your man. You got to pick up your man." I wanted to win the $20
from
Jerry.
You're not going places, son, if you don't pick up your man.
I noticed Bobby Orr was able to keep the winning streak going that I sort of set the tone for, and your team lost again. Are you and Grapes?
I don't know who I got to blame.
Grapes is as bad. Grapes is as bad in that prospects game as he was in Colorado.
That's
looking for trouble.
Yeah. Was it Colby or Todd Warner that I got to blame for the loss?
I don't know, but I know Don in Mississauga is going to be phoning in and is not going to be very happy. Jeff, thanks for doing this and sharing
Jeff.
Your thoughts going into the return tonight. We'll all be watching.
We'll see you at Osgoode Hall.
Okay, see you guys. Thanks.
Now, would Jeff Jackson and Dave Gagne felt like those lottery winners?
Yes. Very much so.
For the billion dollars,
yes.
When they landed Connor McDavid as a client.
Totally. McDavid's nickname should be Powerball.
Totally. That's a great one. No, totally.
Again, you can watch it. Connor McDavid's return from injury tonight. Edmonton at home to Columbus, 9 o'clock Mountain Time on Sportsnet. It is a national game. When we continue, an update on the waiver wire coming out of All-Star Weekend. And Chris Johnson, Sportsnet.ca, the NHL and Sportsnet. Love picking his thoughts. He's always got a couple of tidbits that we can chew on. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and, of course, the NHL Network.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back in Hockey Central, Anthony Phillips. Saw this guy yesterday at the Tin Roof in Nashville. It's pretty cool.
I've been to the Tin Roof. Yeah, like you guys, I mean, seriously, I've been to Nashville 100 times, you know? Like, it's not like you guys one weekend.
Did he just one up you?
He did.
Yeah.
Shocking.
You just went up.
We went there six times a year.
Great concert. Dierks Bentley played an outdoor concert the other day on Saturday.
Did I tell you about the...
Spectacular.
Did I tell you about the night I went to Tootsie's?
A drummer at Robert's Bar, which is right in the strip.
Yeah.
Saturday night, he's just kicking it on his kit there. And he leans back, and the stage is against the glass at the front. Leans against the glass, falls out onto the sidewalk.
Oh, you're
gets up,
kidding.
Finishes the set.
That happened to Paul M. Skierman. We were at a place.
Oh, my God. That is the most unbelievable story.
The guy falls out onto
the sidewalk through glass, gets up, finishes the set, and you one up
me. No, it was Paul M. at a bar in Montreal, and
done.
He fell off his chair next to the stage.
Are you
That's
sure?
Not the
It was very much the same.
Are you sure you weren't describing someone from Sportsnet
Listen,
on the weekend?
How does that happen?
So I go to Tootsie's one night.
So I'm on the airplane, and I slide out the window, and I'm hanging on the wing. and then I let go, and I float down, and I land in water. Try that.
Congratulations.
You walk on
you
water.
Walk on water.
You walk on
you
water.
You think you walk
I've seen
on
you
water.
On your,
I've seen you on your board out in the in the ocean. What's your board called?
It's called a paddle board.
Paddle board.
Chris Johnson is here. Hi, Chris.
I was going to tell you a Tootsie story, but forget it.
Okay, tell CJ's been to Tootsie's.
I went into Tootsie's one night. Yeah. We were with our staff, and there was this person singing at Tootsie's. And
it's a band.
She was amazing. It was a band, but she was the lead singer. She was amazing. And her parents were sitting next to us. So I was so amazed at how good she was. And she was like 19 or 20.
She had to be 21.
Whatever she was. I hired her that night to come to Columbus to sing the national anthem. So she flew to Columbus two weekends later and sang the national anthem when Nashville were playing in Columbus. Kind of a cool Tootsie story. Not like the drummer, I know, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Do you know where she is today now?
Is her name
Carrie?
You know what? I think her last name's Underwood. I don't know what her first name is.
Liar. Here's Chris Johnson from the NHL on Sportsnet.
I'm serious.
Can you believe you had to wait to listen to that, CJ?
Well, I'm used to you guys by now. So I come into this just you know, with a glass of water, ready to take a break, whenever Doug feels like going on about something. So.
Chris, that's an unfair shot. I never give you shots.
That's true. You're good to me, but
Elliot, on the other hand,
stories,
that's changing.
Do you have anything that Doug can one up you with?
No, can you one up Doug?
Yeah, one up me.
Well, this
national anthem singer. I thought it was
Babcock
cool story.
The Babcock story with John Scott. That's interesting.
It is a little bit. I mean,
why is that interesting?
Let him tell the story.
Like, I don't find that interesting that
just
he sent him a
quiet.
Note.
You know what? You're just jealous that Mike Babcock thought about it before you did.
Okay, tell everybody what happened, CJ.
Well, you know, before the weekend got going there with John Scott, Mike Babcock saw the piece that he'd done on the Players Tribune and you know, basically reached out to him, felt that, you know, Mike was pretty honest about it, that he felt that Scott wasn't treated right and wanted to let him know that he would, you know, was one of the guys supporting him. And it sounds like certainly Mike wasn't alone in that. I think John heard from a lot of unfamiliar numbers on his cell phone over the weekend as he kind of took over the show there.
Where did you hear that from? Did John Scott tell you that?
he put it out there. He did mention it, that Mike Babcock was one of the guys that reached out to him.
And so
Mike was asked yesterday about it.
Chris, what you're saying is Mike Babcock was really against what the league was trying to do. And is that what you're saying?
Why are you out 100%. To get the league?
Yeah, like
you guys 100%. Are anti-league. I don't like it.
I mean, Mike said that if you have fans voting and the fans wanted this and they were trying to stop him, said you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, Mike's the first guy that said that.
The the Leafs are going to reveal a new logo today. What do you, any idea of what that's going to look like?
Well, all indications, you know, seem to suggest it's going to be something from the 60s and look a bit like the logo they wore during the years they won those Stanley Cups last. And, you know, they're doing it, I guess, in somewhat dramatic fashion by unveiling it on their behind-the-scenes show. And, you know, I guess this is something maybe to sell some new jerseys, but also, you know, Brendan Shanahan wants it to be a bit symbolic in turning the page and freshening things up and trying to rebrand, I guess, for the organization a little bit.
When you're going to look back at this season, will this be the highlight?
That's so bad.
I think the draft lottery could be the highlight, depending on how it goes. But
yeah, true.
You know, the highlight probably isn't going to come from the ice. I think we would all acknowledge that.
I thought they did this. Am I mistaken? What did they do before, a few years ago, with the old Leafs logo? Was that just a third jersey or
yes.
some sort they did?
Yeah, they usually wear it against original six teams.
Yeah,
yeah, they've used it on a third jersey, and also there was a different logo on the Winter Classic jersey.
So it may be similar to those, Chris? Or
it sounds like it. I think maybe the fonting might be a little bit different on the lettering on the Toronto Maple Leafs on the emblem, but you know, I don't think it's going to be dramatically different from anything you've seen in the past. It's going to be, you know, I think the thing any original six team is dealing with is you can't, you know, get too bold in your changes. I mean, people want that tie to history. So, you know, I think that's going to look familiar to anyone who's seen the Leafs logo from years gone by.
Did you see Jason York's Twitter handle there, Darren and Chris, a week or so ago when he was showing his dressed in the third jersey of the Mighty Ducks?
No,
and he said it was the worst third jersey in the history of the National Hockey
League. He's not wrong.
When I heard the Leafs were changing their logo, I thought, oh, please.
Well, the Toronto Maple Leafs have never won the Stanley Cup with the horizontal Toronto. It's always
so it's
rounded.
The logo, so that's the reason? So the logo is the reason?
It's weird.
You try anything, yeah. Try anything.
Dave Keon's back, changing the logo, trying to.
Did you see the picture of Keon with the uniform that Dave's coming back to play?
Dennis Wiedemann. This is a return to reality for him and the Calgary Flames with this hearing after the collision with Henderson and the linesman last week. Where do you think this falls? 3, 10, 20, or I guess it can fall outside that category as well.
Well, I would be surprised if it wasn't somewhere in the 10 range to begin with. I mean, I think where it gets interesting, of course, is if it's, you know, six games or more, that can be appealed to a neutral arbitrator by the NHLPA and Dennis Wiedemann. And, you know, I would think that would happen. So it's hard to predict
where
it might end up. But I think, you know, this is a really touchy one, guys. This is a situation a lot of the officials themselves have their eyes on.
Well,
you know, I think a strong statement will be made with
excellent
this.
Point, because this isn't just a two-sided coin here. There's the Referee Association. I'll go one further here. How about if they don't like the number, do they appeal?
So I get, like,
the referees can appeal.
Can if they?
Why not? There's a CBA that they have with the league, and it states that they are to be protected. Mm-hmm. And if they feel like that's being violated, then they have certain rights as well. This is going to another level here.
So guys,
and that comes into play in what the league's trying to do. There's multiple messages that need to be sent with the decision that will ultimately come on the hands of Gary Bettman and Coley Campbell here. And one of them is to make sure that the Referee Association will be somewhat
happy.
I don't know if happy is the right word.
Maybe content. I guess
with the decision.
You guys were around the hockey scene that whole weekend, and I'm telling you, when I saw this, I thought 20 games, 25 games. This is because this is all I saw right here, where he almost jumped and hit the guy. Then I'm reading now he was hit, may have been had a slight concussion. He was jammed into the boards. His skates are turned a different way. I don't know where to go with this. I don't know where the how much the hit has to do with this. But when I saw it without the hit,
yeah,
I've never seen anything like this, guys, in my 30 years around the NHL. So
lost in all of this, too, is the spotters. Didn't we have spotters that would watch Dennis Wideman get hit and then have him come to the bench and he doesn't miss a shift? Like, come on. Like, so what is going on with that?
Yeah, certainly the easy defense would have been I got blasted in the boards, right, and I was groggy, but you didn't leave the game, CJ.
But Chris.
It's got to be part of his defense. I mean, it's clearly a mitigating factor. He was frustrated by the hit. You could tell in watching the tape. I mean, it's tough to judge intent, but you know, you have to think, guys. Any league, you got to protect your fans and you got to protect your officials. Basically, in that order, no matter what happens. I mean, I just don't think that even with that, that it's going to, you know, might lessen the penalty a little bit here. But,
yeah,
you know, you just have to send a strong message. I mean, I'm with Doug. I was actually watching the game, just happened to be live, and it was on mute in my living room, and I was just shocked when I saw it. I couldn't believe, right, you know, that I'd seen that. I mean, I can't recall anything quite like that. I know there's been other incidents in the past, but certainly in the last 10 or 15 years, I haven't seen anything like it. And I think that's why it's all hands on deck. And Nick's right that there's a lot of different parties here that are going to have a say in how this plays out and are going to react to it, you know, depending on what that number is.
I heard a lot of people say he was looking right at him, but I'll use the football analogy or a defenseman passing the puck up where you get tunnel vision. You're looking almost through somebody where you, and then you end up coughing up the puck and and they question or throwing an interception, right, and they say, how could you not have seeing that person right in the way? Just because a person's head is pointed a certain way,
right,
doesn't mean eyes aren't looking down or up or at the bench.
Every player talks about peripheral vision and being able to see. I'm not buying it. And I happen to like Dennis Wideman.
He pushed him on purpose?
I think he just snapped.
I think he snapped. I think it's...
I know he was hurt. And I think he just... that's almost a jump.
Listen,
the guy was in. Don was in his way.
I've been on the ice and I don't know what to think of this. Where, when you're at the end of the shift or you've just been hit, lack of oxygen to the brain. There's lots of things going on here.
You take
bad penalties. You make really poor judgments on the ice when you're tired, and I think this was just one of those instances where he just didn't have enough strength to do the right thing, and that's just completely pull up,
and
he just. He's for that split second. He just made the decision that I'm going to the bench and
get out of my way. But this is not the type of guy this is. I hate to see the Calgary Flames because they're in a race. They're in a mate and they lose one of their good defensemen who's a quality guy. But so is Don Henderson, a quality guy. You know what I mean? And you know,
last thought to you on this, but I think he also might have believed that it was a Nashville player. That ended up right in front of
him. The uniforms.
Well, no, when he first looks up. I'm not saying that
I could totally see that.
If he's looking down and then there's a body right in front of him.
I am not buying that.
CJ?
I hope.
Yeah.
Last thought to you on this.
Well, I mean, I'm with the guys here. There's so many interesting factors around this. Given, you know, the player's history is not one of doing these sorts of things, given the hit, given the fact that it involves the official, I don't think that there's a right answer. I really don't believe that in this case because there's, you know, all those things involved, but I still believe the league has to come down hard on him, even if even if he was concussed, just because I think the message about the, you know, protecting officials, it probably trumps all those things.
What if it was Raffy or Matt Cook?
I know.
They get life.
Or John Scott. Oh, no, bad example.
No, John Scott now would get off. Well, John Scott,
Warning. If that was John Scott today, he would get a warning.
He'd get a 10-game suspension in the AHL.
I think referees have to start wearing.
No.
You know,
that guy can't do anything wrong right now.
Those safety vests that the flag people wear inside of the highway, I think officials have to start wearing those. Chris, CJ, thank you very much.
Thanks. Drew Ankit, trade it yet? No.
What's the latest there?
I think it could come soon. He's still at home. He's not with the team. But
I hope he's skating.
He is skating, but you know, I've heard that, you know, something might be getting close there.
Oh, good.
Okay, we'll keep up to date. Follow him on Twitter.
Thanks, Chris.
There's Chris Johnson, NHL on Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca.
It's bizarre, isn't it? I hate to even get into commentary on it because you just don't know what was going through a guy's head.
But it's sort of your job.
But he did it. He did it. Unfortunately, yeah. He did it.
I don't think he saw him. Yeah. The way his feet turn.
I'm not buying the feet story. Sorry. I'm not buying the feet story. I might buy a little bit of the concussion story.
If the Predators were wearing their gold sweaters.
They're similar.
If the Predators were wearing their gold sweaters.
There you go.
They're
just
very similar.
Trying to get some pictures for you of Nashville sweaters. And I don't know if you.
You just see a body right there.
Twitter world, if you can send Darren Millard a picture of a referee jersey and a Nashville jersey.
What number was Don wearing?
That would help a lot.
If it was a referee, would have saw the armbands.
But what number was
I don't know.
Don wearing? Because what, maybe it was somebody that
maybe just saw a number.
At. No, maybe somebody's mad at Nashville. I'd love to hear the defense for this. I'd love. So for all Calgary fans.
Don't suck up.
I am sucking up because I happen to like the Calgary Flames a lot.
You do this a lot. Come out with a statement and then you just try kidding. To just.
Okay.
No, you try to play it on the other side.
What?
91.
Oh. So who's 91 in Nashville?
Maybe thought he was playing Fedorov. Tampa.
Oh, maybe he thought it was Stamkos. Let's not mock this because it's very serious for Calgary people. And for Dennis Wiseman.
Did he just tell us?
Not to mock something?
Yeah. Not to mock something?
Yeah.
That's a first, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying to change.
Anyway.
Hopefully it works out.
Dave Tippett going to coach his 1,000th game tonight. Coyotes against the Kings. Part of a jam-packed schedule in the NHL. Montreal against Philadelphia on Sportsnet East. As Montreal prepares for 2-2, they're on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey against Buffalo tomorrow night.
Can I one-up you one?
Why not?
Can you one-up me one?
Just stay sort of the one consistent up. With the show.
When I was interviewing to hire the first coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, mm-hmm. It came down to two people. The final two were Dave King and Dave Tippett. And my owner said to me at the time, I really like the young guy. Dave Tippett was coaching in Houston in the IHL. And he was one of Dave King was his mentor. Mm-hmm. And I went with Dave King ahead of Dave Tippett because of his experience. And I remember going through the process with Dave Tippett. And I mean, what a career he's had, Dave Tippett.
Despite you not hiring him.
Strictly on the experience. That's
I went. Well, Dave King had a great reputation at the time. And Dave was a good person, a good hockey man. And, you know, it was a really tough decision. But I remember my owner saying, I'd go with the kid.
I'm not sure I wouldn't have made the same decision.
Anyway, it was great. You know, Dave King had a great career. Dave King had a great career. And Dave Tippett.
Played with Dave Tippett on one side and Joel Quenneville on the other side.
And where was Kevin Dineen? Was Kevin
you
on that team?
Center?
I'm describing our stalls in the dressing room.
where was Kevin Dineen's stall?
Hey, that, you bailed yourself out of that one.
That was good.
And Ray Ferraro?
No, I'm serious.
Was Ronnie Francis?
Washington.
Was Ronnie Francis' stall near you, too?
No, Ronnie was. This is not Hartford. This is the Washington Capitals.
I thought it might have been Hartford.
Dave Tippett.
Joel not playing.
I don't remember Dave Tippett.
Oh yeah,
with the Caps.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. My centerman.
One side of me, the other one on the other, in the stalls in the.
That would have been quite a line, by the way.
You three?
Yes.
Who was the other guy? Joel. I thought Joel was a defenseman.
I'm not describing a line.
Okay. Oh,
we went over that joke.
The dressing room stalls. So Quenneville is like going to finish top two in NHL wins. He's got three Stanley Cups as a coach. And then you've got Dave Tippett coaching his 1,000th game tonight.
I went the broadcast route.
Do you keep track of shows?
You know what I remember most?
How many shows is this?
This is your 1,000th.
You know what I remember most?
Roger.
Joel Quenneville tying up those Lang skates and the squeaking that I had to listen to.
Roger LeJoy has 3,000 shows. How many have you got?
Oh, come on. I mean, 10,000.
Really, you're in that category?
He just one-upped you.
He did.
I one-upped Roger LeJoy. Like,
can I one-up you one? Well, you don't need the one when you're one-upping. Again, great night of action on Sportsnet this evening, including the return of Connor McDavid. Edmonton at home to Columbus on Sportsnet. That's a national game at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 Pacific. Enjoy it.